Saludos a nuestra gente and welcome to D Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Maria Isa, along with my co-host,
Jessica Lopez-Lyman, and we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Chicana and Boricua, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We are here to create a dialogue focused on Latinx opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment.
And a music playlist asazonado with Latinx contemporary, alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos afro-latinos y más.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Emergency, paging Dr. Beat. Emergency.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
What's good, mi gente? Maria Isa with
Jessica. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Latina Theory.
Yo, we have been killing it with the guests this season. You know?
I'm like, all right, who else wants to be on the show?
And much love to everybody tuning in nationally, internationally, hitting us up to want to be on the Latina Theory and supporting the Latina Theory. We've got some really cool guests on the lineup for the rest of the season. But today's episode features
Dr. Julie Ramos, a bilingual invasive cardiologist and assistant professor at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center, with an interest and emphasis on preventative cardiology. Dr. Ramos is both a cardiologist and a nutritionist, where she's been a spokesperson for heart-healthy lifestyles. She founded a Bronx Woman Heart, support group for women of color who are survivors of heart disease. Her clinical focus has been in the underserved community of Inwood and Washington Heights since 2011. Her research interests have been in decreasing health disparities in women's cardiovascular health through cross-discipline collaborations. We're super excited to have her on, especially because we are in the middle of the pandemic still. La Cabrona, Rona is still alive and well, so excited to be able to talk with her today.
My mom just had surgery at the Mayo Clinic, and I respect all those nurses and doctors that are working every day. I believe science, you know what I'm saying? And I believe people that are at the front lines who are like, why don't people just wear a mask? Why don't people just respect, you know, the social distancing? You can do it.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't be where we're at. People are losing their lives. People are getting really sick, even if they are battling it and surviving it. Like, their internal organs are really, 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 you know, have been defeating this and trying to gain strength again. I know people personally, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, you know, in the summer, definitely in the spring when it first started, but this summer, I would talk a lot and be like, do you know anybody yet? And mm-hmm. here in the Twin Cities, like, the cases were so low that a lot of us didn't know people. Mm-hmm. But now with the mm-hmm. surge and, you know, the longer that this sticks around, we know people, right? We have cousins, we have aunts,
kids
that
too.
Have had it.
I know, yeah, kids. I know teenagers, like 13-year-olds. And
I got kids in the elementary school, you mm-hmm. know, that have it. And so really excited to have Dr. Ramos on today with us, you know, because she's out on the East Coast too. She really has been experiencing the surge from a very early on.
Yeah. New York City today announced that they were shutting schools down again. So,
yeah.
For all those who want to know that we're pre-recording, they shut it down. But that's just what it is. And I know everyone wants to gather for holidays and do what they got to do, but really consider keeping that limited and figuring out how to make the best out of what your holiday season is for safety reasons.
Absolutely. You know, and a tradition always takes the first year to start. So maybe this is an opportunity for your family to start some new traditions.
I'm making coquitos still. And I've got my gloves on, my mask on while I'm making it. I will be putting them in bags and boxes and delivering them like the mailman, okay? Like the mail woman, all right?
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Here on our show, it is our honor to have today Doctora Ramos. Bienvenidos, saludos. Thank you for being here.
Gracias, mucho gusto. It's a pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the work you're doing today? Break down on what your place is in medicine, this global pandemic.
Right. So I actually am a cardiologist. I have dedicated my life working in the underserved minority community. Working in New York City, my patient population, predominantly Latinos, Spanish speaking, also African Americans. I served underserved because a lot of them were either on Medicaid or had lack of access to care. So my background is, you know, I tend to see patients with disease that certainly could be prevented. And this is pre-COVID, of course.
Right.
And COVID has only accentuated that issue, especially in New York City, where the high concentration of poverty is quite extreme. Quite extreme. And you wouldn't think in a wealthy, you know, city like New York City, where, you know, there are billionaires living there, there is such disparity. And we could talk about not only health literacy, but, you know, minimal things like access to healthy foods just in your neighborhood, where a lot of the, let's say, commerce focuses on fast foods or easy to access foods. And I don't know if you've covered it in your podcast before, but obesity is a major, major risk factor for morbidity and mortality with COVID, meaning hospitalizations increase in these patients and intubation increase and death as well.
Definitely. I have type 1 diabetes, so and I lived in New York with my mother for several years ago in El Barrio, and I just remember just the educational, trying to mentor youth at the time and elders as type 1, maybe they had type 2, and, you know, learning about las diferencias, but also recognizing, like, this is how we all should be eating. This is how we all should be taking care of ourselves, regardless if you have these, you know, health issues that are challenging completely, like you stated. You know, what's in our neighborhoods? What are we eating? What's motivating us? But also the poverty level. It's like this caste system that keeps us trapped in the healthcare system. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's so important for our listeners to feel that commonality of you're not alone.
No.
You're not alone.
Definitely not.
You know, so it's so wonderful to have you on as a cardiologist. I can imagine in medical school, you were one of the only Latinas. And being that Maria and I both represent Minnesota here, we're very familiar with being the only one in a lot of spaces. You know, Maria is a Latina woman in hip hop, so that speaks for itself. I got my PhD out in California. What was that like for you?
Wow. I mean, I was the first of many things, right? I think coming from immigrant parents where, you know, my dad went to sixth grade and got his GED in his 30s. And my mother went to third grade and, you know, taught herself how to read and write, you know, not really, you know, I think I was definitely the first to really even, you know, think of going beyond high school. And, you know, one of the challenges is many of the role models, lack of role models, right? So I think that was the biggest thing. But there were some role models, Latinas in my life, who definitely helped steer me away from, you know, getting a job right after high school and just, you know, doing the easy way out. So, you know, even in college, undergrad, I mean, my friends were not Latinas because there were no, you know, there were some small associations in the school, but it was such a large university. There were a few of us. So I have to say the medical school I went to in New Jersey did have a center of excellence, Hispanic Center of Excellence. So we did have that support because there is a need. And I think that even today, there is lacking Latinas and Latinos anywhere in whether it's government, education, in academia. So I've been an academic cardiologist, a teaching cardiologist for many years, and rarely do you see Latinos or Latinas in those higher level positions which act as role models for our kids in college and kids in graduate school, you know. So I think that there is a lot of barriers that need to be broken. And one of them starts with start to put people of color in those positions where they are teaching our future generations.
Right. It's a comfort level, too, when you see somebody, you hear the dialogue. You know, my mama just had spinal surgery just a few days ago, and we're close to the Mayo Clinic. So we go to the number one hospital if we can, by the grace of bendiciones, you know. And when you see your gente, there was a Salvadoreña nurse. Like, never before have we ever experienced that at the Mayo. And she was so comfortable, my mother just going into her surgery, being like, ay, que bueno, hay una Latina, and we spoke Spanish, and like, that is so, so, so needed. And I'm glad that, you know, you're a guerrera, like we like to say on Latina Theory, because they don't know the challenges. If you're not a woman of color, you know, if you're not a Latina, so to say, we're, like you said, we're not visible in these areas. So when we are, we're not just representing the challenges that we're going through, but we are representing all the women, all the mujeres that have paved the way for us to be there. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, there were some mentors, because they may not have been in the medical field, but they were the mentorship to keep you focused on that light. Definitely. This pandemic is insane.
Yeah, we call it La Cabrona Rona.
La Cabrona
Rona. Sure.
Because, you know, it's, we can laugh, we can joke about it, but we can't, because it's serious. And we know people that have lost people. I personally know people who are fighting it at home, quarantined right now. What can you share about what's going on in the hospitals right now during COVID-19, from misconceptions to safety
measures?
Well,
you know, I'll tell you a little bit of what, you know, from the beginning in March when things began and hospital beds were taken over by COVID, there was, you know, a shutdown of every non-COVID service there. Meaning if you were experiencing chest pain and you were having maybe a heart attack, you know, there were no facilities to go to. So now with, and I'll tell you, a lot of patients did die at home. A lot of patients from a heart attack, not from COVID or anything else. I'm not saying that COVID didn't kill the numbers that it did, just that other illnesses were not attended to because the overwhelming amount of patients with COVID in New York City just overwhelmed us. And it really, to be honest, demoralized the physicians because our hands were tied. We're people who want to do something for patients who are 30 years old and you see them dropping dead in front of you from something that you've never seen before. So again, you know, I think that this is why right now we are taking mitigation very seriously. Social distancing, avoiding large crowds, indoor gatherings, wearing masks, because we have to provide care to everyone else. Many of my patients who had cancer had to interrupt their chemo. And we're talking months of interruption. So right now, we are taking measures in the hospitals and in the offices to very much stagger appointments. We're only limiting patients in the offices that need to be there. So I love to see your wife with you if you're coming in. And you know, I get collateral background information that not every husband likes to share with me. But you know, for safety measures, we're taking this. So mask wearing within our facilities, limiting it to the patients, temperature checks are extremely important. And this is going throughout the nation. And I talked to other colleagues. And we want to be sure that patients are aware that these efforts are happening and this is not a source of infection, right? And we're taking that very seriously. In the hospitals, if you're going for a procedure, let's say you need an angiogram or you need an elective surgery, they require a COVID test before you go in there. They require that you get screened a day before, you know, you go in and have the results available. And I think that the community many times gets very afraid, and a lot of them have avoided care. And we're talking about an already marginalized at-risk population. You know, Latinos have diabetes, hypertension, obesity, etc. And already to avoid coming to your doctor, whether it's your primary care doctor or to your specialist, such as your cardiologist, only worsens it. And to be honest, we're here for the long run. This is not going to go away anytime soon. So you could keep waiting at home, but we're going to be in this situation for a while. So again, call your doctor, figure out what sort of measures they're doing. You know, can I have an appointment? Are there other people in your waiting room? We're very happy to answer those questions. And we're very aggressive about limiting who comes in and who's wearing a mask. Everyone's wearing a mask. It's very, very strictly, you know, tightened flow of patients within offices and hospitals.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we know from the beginning, and we just see more and more studies coming out, is that Black, Latinx, and Indigenous or Native folks are disproportionately being impacted they're getting the virus, dying from the virus. Do you have any tips for the Latinx community in terms of how to stay safe besides what you've mentioned or other strategies? Because we do know that it starts in our neighborhoods, like you were saying from the beginning, right? With the food we get, the access to healthcare. There's many layers here. So what do you recommend?
You know, I think that I have, you know, and working in New York City, I've seen, you know, both many sides of how people accept the virus. And I would say that Latinos in general are very fearful of the virus, you know, when especially coming into the doctor and things like that. And I think that there are challenges, especially in a city, whether you're talking about Detroit or LA or New York City, one of them is transportation. So, you know, when you are stuck in a bus with 30 people, and now, you know, they're starting to cut service, that is a challenge because you certainly are having exposure. So there's a lot of infrastructure disadvantages that we're having to deal with. I just listened to the news this morning. MTA in New York City is going to be cutting service most likely. And that means less social distancing, less ability to be exposed to somebody with the virus. So I certainly, you know, I am one of these people, if you're stuck in those situations, mask up, wear goggles, wear, you know, cover your hands, don't touch anything if you don't have to, you know, make sure your nose and mouth are covered, and lessen your exposure. I would be in the train and I'd jump out if, you know, there was too crowded and I'd wait till the next train comes. Because to be honest, this virus is highly infectious. And through those tunnels, through crowded places, it's easy to catch it. But again, you know, I think that the other aspect of it is, and we haven't mentioned it, is we tend to be a very social community, right? So we like to get together, quinceañera, jifiete, cumpleaños, and you know, whatever great things, babies are being born and things like that. And I think that if my parents are any reflection of our parents, they don't know how to work Zoom. You know, this is a challenge. Kind of a Anglo sort of cultural thing. And, you know, it'd be great if technology were, you know, readily available or they had some literacy towards this, right? Because they could see their grandkids through FaceTime or Zoom or whatever platform. So let's not even mention that broadband and internet is not available in many of our communities. So our children, and I haven't even mentioned education.
Yes.
And a lot of them, especially in New York City, I mean, 40% can't even log in because they don't have it. They just don't even have the access to it.
That's a very valid, and I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm a youth worker and in school and after school programming for music and arts, and it's just tragic because even if you have one computer in the home, you've got three other siblings and they're age ranging, and your mother was still trying to work an essential job. And so you see all of the means, just like accessibility to healthcare, accessibility to technology plays a role in health and education, right? And even going and speaking within people in Puerto Rico, because we do a lot of outreach work to Puerto Rico with the stimulus check or trying to pay for dialysis and amongst the pandemic and hurricane relief. So you start to not only fear for your physical, but the mental, which eso ataque de corazón has a lot to do with the mind, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of our communities don't want to talk to somebody or want to feel that there's somebody else going through something worse. So, and I come from a family of heart condition. My father severely had a quadruple bypass, and you know, I've been checking in on him and seeing him taking this a serious note, which is good because, you know, like you said, family birthdays. My daughter turned one in a pandemic and it was like, no, virtual, you know, let's use our Facebook Live, right? Let's use
Zoom. And this is like Maria's baby shower had over 150 people. So I'm just telling you, the size of the birthday was going to be like bigger than her wedding.
That's because of the madrinas like Jessica in our community. But like you said, our village, you know, our comunidades and our elders. And I think how my father feels just with Thanksgiving and the traditions of having our family and him cooking and mommy, you know, undergoing a major surgery. It's important to still be in communication with our doctors and still be in communication with folks. So if there's any ways or links that your work is doing to help out nonprofits in our communities and clinics for Agente, please let us know, because we're right here trying to share that information for our folks to still go check on your heart. And if you need virtual and don't know how to do it, let's figure out how to get that to you.
That is the other thing. I certainly do plenty of virtual visits, and that is not a bad way. And to be honest with you, you know, that we encourage it, especially if you're elderly and you can't get out. But you know what? What's great about it is I have my patients engaged in their care, because before they call me in, I've already had them check their blood pressure, record it, get their pulse, weigh themselves, have their medications in front of them. And it's almost empowering them, because, you know, they're not having a nurse do it. They are doing it themselves. Right. And now they know what their numbers are. So there's a very positive things that have come out, you know. And it's funny, because we talk about a survey that we did at SCAI, which is the Society of Angiographers that we're speaking through. And we found that people had less fear of getting the hair done, going to the hair salon and getting the nails done, but coming to the doctor was greater a fear. And I was like, well, that doesn't quite make sense. So I think platforms like this, to get the word out, let's talk about it. Don't, you know, if you start having symptoms of shortness of breath, chest pain, you know, could be a heart attack. Don't let seconds pass. It's very important that you seek care. And, you know, and that said, stroke is a huge effect in Latinos and African-Americans as well. And, you know, effects in your, either in your speech or dizziness, acute vision changes, those things, seconds matter even more in strokes than anything else. So really getting the word out is really my biggest thing. You know, I'm part of this, of a communications committee. And I think that, especially in our community, the more we try to get the word out, we love these social media. I think that is the key. The key is very, very important. And whatever involvement I can do, I'm all for it, you know?
That's great. You talk about everyone else's care, right? There's the la doctora in you. But what is the doctor doing for your self-care in this such stressful period of our history?
Gosh, you know, the worst thing that happened is I can't go to the gym. So, you know, and I think that was one of my greatest stress relief and outlets. And, you know, I certainly think that now's not time to go to the gym. So I'm not going to be going to the gym. And I think that outdoors has been my outlet, and I have a 13-year-old who I involve in. You know how kids are now these days. They're stuck on their phone, and they're playing games and roadblocks, and So getting her to do something else with her mom, because she wasn't going to the gym with me,
right?
Mostly it's adults. She, that certain bike riding and definitely just walking the dog together, you know, making an effort. But to be honest, I think that I've always been a healthy eater. So I love to cook, and we have no choice but to stay at home and cook, right? So, you know, I'm certainly working on lots of recipes, but, you know, I bought a stationary bike. You know, that is my outlet. I have a little mini weights. I have kettlebells. Anyone can do that, right? You know, a stationary bike is not out of the ordinary. Getting kettlebells on Amazon are available. You know, I think what I practice what I preach to my patients, you know, and I am a proponent, and I, this is not something we talk about, but sleep is very important.
Yes.
You know, there have been studies on night workers, which a lot of underserved minority do work night shifts or these rotating shifts, stresses our body and messes up our circadian rhythm, and stress hormones are developed. So I talk a lot about, you can't really catch up on sleep. Sleep is at night, and that's how we're built. And some people can't change that, which is kind of sad, especially medical workers, nurses, things like that. A lot of them end up getting sick and disabled because they work nights. So, you know, if you can certainly sleep at night and sleep a good 7 to 8 hours, it's very important.
I pray for that.
Dream of 7 to 8 hours.
I wish you know, the baby, right, not now. Exactly.
I was going to say, oh man, I miss.
Right. I miss that. I was saying I always fantasize about like going to a conference and just sleeping at night by myself. But I do appreciate what you're saying about the workout. You know, I was cracking up because we don't go to the gym either anymore. But I just started lifting Simon. Yes, she's excited. I just started lifting her, and you know, every week she gets a little heavier.
Good.
I'm up to 18 pounds. We're gonna have to edit.
I love it.
No, she's on there. She's our co-host.
With your baby.
You could do glute bridges with the baby.
Completely.
Yeah, exactly.
I took my daughter today for her 18-month shot. She's 19 months, but because of this COVID, her doctor couldn't see her till 19 months, and to get her shots, everything's so backed up. And we don't want to switch. We want to keep everything as, like you said, rhythm is important with everything. Mm-hmm. But she's 25 pounds now. So I'm like, okay, I don't feel so bad about myself not going to the gym.
True.
And my husband kind of was like, okay, you know, it's because it's challenging our routines. But then you think the whole world's going through this, right? So like, what did our ancestors go through, right? They didn't have technology.
Right, right. And that's what I want to emphasize. You
mm-hmm.
know, I saw a lot of anxiety and depression because of the isolation, mm-hmm. especially in our community. Mm-hmm. Again, we're very social. We just like to congregate. And mm-hmm. But you know, I have to say, you have to adapt. And adapting is, you know, doing the social media, you know, whether it's a phone call, just pick up the phone, call your grandkids, you know, it doesn't matter. Those 5 minutes of taking time can lessen that sort of, you know, isolation feeling and depression. And if you have loved ones, goodness, the abuelita, give her a call, you know, don't forget about her. Just watching the news causes anxiety. Forget about being stuck at home.
I tell my great tías, you know, she lives in New York in the Lower East Side, and she hasn't gone, and you think about like they go to Misa, they're in their 80s, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Or they're worried about us too. They're that worrying, right? The nurturing of mom
of
and abuela. And it's kind of like, you know, just cuídate lo mejor. But for right now, I read the news not about 2 days ago that they're enforcing maybe a mandatory vaccine. Is that true? A mandatory COVID? Okay. We'll have to follow up on that because
I have to say probably mandatory
mm-hmm.
for healthcare workers,
okay.
first line workers, you know, essential workers who are going to be exposed. A lot of corporations will require, and hospitals and et cetera, institutions. So I think that may be coming along the pipeline.
Got it. I know they closed schools in New York City today. It's 100% social distance learning now. Like you said, adjusting with the times, right? Adjusting with the times.
You know, to be honest, I mean, my parents are immigrants, so I think their challenge and change is inherent in them. You know, they took a challenge to come to a country where they didn't speak the language, they didn't
right.
know the culture, they didn't know anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should realize that we are guerreros, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and this is just something for us to overcome and, you know, maybe even unite more a little bit as a community and maybe in different ways, not necessarily through just la iglesia or, you know,
right.
through your nuclear family, but reach out to others in our community.
Dr. Ramos, it's an honor to have you here on Latina Theory. Before we let you off, we ask all of our guests a question. What are you listening to? Because music is a big part of our podcast. What music gets you through your day or just makes you feel good?
You know, so I spent a lot of time in Washington Heights, so the Dominican genre has stuck with me, although I'm not Dominican. So, you know, the reggaeton, the bachatas yes. are definitely uplifting, and it's a very Afro-Caribbean, definitely. You know, sense to it. And of course, it's a lot of love songs. So, that's always nice to hear. I think that those definitely, you know, uplift me on a gloomy day.
Great. We're going to play some Aventura, because who doesn't love Aventura? A nice bachata for you. Since we're talking about Washington Heights, those are the Backstreet Boys of Dominican bachata, right? And we'll throw an OG one, too, because everyone wants the new, but we like to play the classics here.
Absolutely. And if you don't mind throwing a link to the secondscount.org.
Definitely.
It's a nonprofit that teaches, has information on heart disease and stroke and not avoiding care during the pandemic. And it gives a lot of educational links. That would be awesome.
We'll definitely add that to our show notes and blast it all over social media. Where can
people
stay connected with you, Dr. Ramos, before we let you go?
So I actually have an Instagram handle. My love is cooking, and my Instagram is Healthy Eating MD.
Yes.
And so I do a lot of, you know, Latino healthier versions, and I love to mix it with other flavors and herbs and spices. So definitely that's one way to follow me.
Thank you so much. I'm always looking forward to finding new inspiration, because I love to cook too, but after a while it's like you
want
to go to a restaurant, so looking for that inspiration.
Gracias.
Well, thank
Very
you so
good.
Much for taking time, Dr. Ramos. We really appreciate it, and
thank you,
all the great advice. We'll make sure that folks check out your IG, as well as looking at the second chance.
Secondscount.org.
Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you. Bye, ladies.
Chao.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Porque eres tu niña querida, la muera. otro hombre con dinero. Y si es así, pues trataré de resignarme por completo. Ay, Dios, serán tus cartas de amor la soledad que me hace recordarte. O las novelas que tú veías tan ansiosa tomando café. Sabes, mi amor, mi única meta fue lograr tenerte aquí. Baby, perdí la ilusión y la esperanza de que tú eras a mí. Si me enseñaste a querer, también enséñame a olvidar esto que siento. Porque eres tu niña querida, la mujer a quien yo amo y a quien quiero. Ay, que sanaré este dolor que me dejaste en mi interior cuando te fuiste. Quien inventó el amor de oro, las instrucciones de evitar el sufrimiento. Dios me ha concedido el amor.